Super Grandpa, written and narrated by David M. Schwartz. Pictures by Bert Dodson. Published by Tortuga Press. Sweden, 1951.
Gustav Håkansson was 66 years old. His hair was snow white. His beard a great white bush, his face rippled with wrinkles whenever he smiled. Gustav Håkansson looked like an old man, but he didn't feel old, and he certainly didn't act old. Everyone for miles around knew Gustav. People saw him on his bicycle, rain or shine, riding through the crooked streets of Grantofta, past the bakers, the butchers, and the wooden toy makers. Each morning, he pedaled over the stone bridge leading out of town, up steep hills scattered with farms, down narrow lanes bordered by stones, then home again to his morning paper and a bowl of yogurt and lingonberries. One morning, Gustav read something very exciting in the paper. There was going to be a bicycle race called the Tour of Sweden. It would be more than 1,700 kilometers, over 1,000 miles, and it would last many days. "This tour of Sweden is for me," exclaimed Gustav. "But you're too old for a bicycle race," said Gustav's wife. "You'd keel over," said his son. "It would be the end of you." Even his grandchildren laughed at the idea. "You can't ride your bike 1,700 kilometers, Grandpa." "Strunt prat," answered Gustav. "Silly talk." And he hopped onto his bike and rode off to see the judges of the race. He would tell them that he planned to enter the Tour of Sweden. "But this race is for young people," the first judge explained. "You're too old, Gustav," scoffed the second judge. "You'd never make it to the finish. We can only admit racers who are strong and fit," insisted the third judge. "What if you collapsed in the middle of the race?" "Strunt prat," protested Gustav. "I have no intention of collapsing because I am strong and fit." But the judges were not moved. "We're sorry, Gustav," one of them grumbled. "Go home. Go home to your rocking chair." Gustav went home, but he did not go to his rocking chair. "They can keep me out of the race," he muttered, "but they cannot keep me off the road." The next morning, Gustav began to prepare for the long race ahead. He arose with the sun, packed some fruit and rye bread, and cycled far out of town, over rolling hills dotted with ancient castles, across valleys dimpled with lakes, through forests thick with birches and pines. It was mid-afternoon before he returned. The next day he biked even farther. Each day he added more miles to his ride. A few days before the race, all the young cyclists boarded a special train to Haparanda, a tiny village in the far north of Sweden where the race was to begin. But Gustav was not an official racer. He had no train ticket. There was only one way for Gustav to ride in the Tour of Sweden. He would have to pedal 1,000 kilometers, about 600 miles, to the starting line. It took him several days to bike there. He arrived just as the Tour of Sweden was about to begin. All the racers wore numbers, but of course there was no number for Gustav, so he found a scrap of bright red fabric and made his own. What number should he be? He had an idea. He wasn't supposed to be in the race at all, so he would be number zero. He chuckled as he cut out a big red zero and pinned it to his shirt. Then he wheeled his bicycle to the starting line. The starting gun popped, and the young cyclists took off in a spurt. Their legs pumped furiously, and their bikes sprinted ahead. They soon left Gustav far behind. That night, the racers stopped at an inn. They were treated to dinner and a bed. Hours later, Gustav reached the inn, but there was no bed for him, so he just kept riding. While the others snoozed the night away, Gustav pedaled into the dawn. Early the next day, the other cyclists passed Gustav, but he kept up his steady pace, and late that evening, he again overtook the young racers as they rested. In the middle of the night, he napped for 3 hours on a park bench. On the third morning, Gustav was the first to arrive in the little town of Luleå. A small crowd of people waited, hoping to catch a glimpse of the racers zooming by. Instead, they saw Gustav. His white beard fluttered in the breeze. His red cheeks puffed with breath. "Look," cried a little girl. "Look, here comes Super Grandpa." "Super Grandpa?" Everyone craned to see. "Yes, yes, he does look like a Super Grandpa." A few clapped. Others shouted friendly greetings. Some of the children held out their hands, and Gustav brushed their palms as he rode by.
Hey, a pole.
"Good luck to you, Super Grandpa." A photographer snapped Gustav's picture. It appeared the next day in the newspaper. The headline read, "Super Grandpa Takes a Ride." Now all of Sweden knew about Super Grandpa Gustav Håkansson. When he got hungry or thirsty, people gave him yogurt with lingonberries, tea and cake, fruit juice, rye bread, or any other snack he wanted. Newspaper reporters rushed up to talk to him. Radio interviewers broadcast every word he spoke. Everyone wanted to know how he felt. "I have never felt better in my whole life," he told them. "But aren't you tired?" they asked. "How can I be tired when I am surrounded by so much kindness?" And with a push on the pedal and a wave of his hand, Gustav was rolling down the road. Once again, Gustav rode through the night, passing the other racers as they slept. When his muscles felt stiff, he remembered his cheering fans. He pedaled harder. And so it went, day after night, night after day. By the light of the moon, Gustav quietly passed the young racers in their beds. Then he slept outside, but only for a few hours. Under the long rays of the morning sun, they overtook him and left him behind, struggling to keep up his spirits and his pace. But each day, it took them a little bit longer to catch up with Gustav. On the sixth morning of the race, thousands of people lined the road. As Gustav rode by, their joyful cheers traveled with him like a wave through the crowd. He rode faster. "You're almost there, Super Grandpa! Just a few more kilometers! Don't look back! You're going to win!" Win? Gustav hadn't thought about winning. He had simply wanted to ride in the Tour of Sweden and reach the finish line. But win? "You're out in front, Super Grandpa! A few more kilometers and you'll be the winner!" The winner? Gustav glanced over his shoulder. The pack of racers streaked across the last bridge. They hunched their shoulders low over their handlebars. They raised their backs high above their seats. Gustav decided not to think about them. Instead, he thought about his many fans. He thought about how they wanted him to win. And suddenly, he wanted to win, too. He looked ahead. In the distance, he could see a bright blue banner stretched across the road. The finish line. Gustav lowered his head. He raised his back. He whipped his legs around with all their might and all their motion. The next time he looked up, he was bursting through the banner and rolling over the finish line just before the next racer thundered past. The crowd roared. People lifted Gustav onto their shoulders. They showered him with flowers. They sang victory songs. The police band played patriotic marches. But the celebration did not make the three judges happy. They were furious. They said that Gustav could not be the winner because he was never actually in the race. Besides, it was against the rules to ride at night. No, the big gold trophy would go to the next racer, not to Gustav. But no one seemed to care what the judges said. Even the king stepped up to hug Gustav and invite him to the palace. And to nearly everyone in Sweden, the winner was Gustav Håkansson, 66 years old, his hair as white as snow, his beard a great white bush, his smiling face an orb of wrinkles. To them, the winner of the Tour of Sweden was the man they all called Super Grandpa.